Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night Bible study. This is a day that God has made, and we should all rejoice in it. It is such a blessing to be able to come back on Wednesday night, after Wednesday night, as we share and explore the Word of God together. God is pleased with your faithfulness. I just want you to know that, and your commitment. And I'm excited about it as well. As always, I have to first give obedience to God the Father, to His wonderful Son, and to His Holy Spirit for allowing us to be together one more time. And I would personally like to thank each and every one of you that take time out of your very busy schedules and meet me here at the 8:30 hour for our Bible study. Well, tonight, the title lesson is going to be, What Does God Want From Us? What does God want from us? And tonight, we're going to be coming out of the book of Micah. We're going to be in the 6th chapter, and we're going to read verses 6 through 8. For those who have their Bibles, Micah is found in the Old Testament, and Micah is one of God's prophets. So if you have your Bible, turn to Micah, the 6th chapter, 6 through 8 verse. And for those who don't have their Bible and want to go get it, you have time, and then turn to Micah. Before we go any further into the program, it's time to go to the throne of grace and lift up prayer to God for all that He's doing for us in a time like this. So if anyone, like I say all the time, would like to pray, you can press the 1 button on your telephone right now, and I'll open up the lines, and you could pray for the session tonight. If anyone would like to pray, just press the 1 button. Okay, we're going to go ahead on into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving, and we enter your courts with praise. Heavenly Father, we just taking time to say thank you. Heavenly Father, as this week went out, Lord, several people that I know has passed away. Plenty of people have been diagnosed this week with cancer. Some of my friends are setting up for radiation. But God, you are a faithful God, and you found fit to let us be here with a reasonable portion of our health and strength. And for that, we must say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for this day that you have given us to let us be able to do the things that we need to do. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon every call and everyone that may have been listening, may be listening on the internet, dear God. And I'm asking you to bless them in the blessings that they are in need of. Heavenly Father, some may need this and others may need that, but God, you're a way maker, you're a heart fixer, and you're a mind regulator. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for the many blessings you bestowed upon our lives. And thank you that you're going to still work on our behalf. Lord, you say you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Heavenly Father, you say you were here from the beginning and you'll be through eternity. Heavenly Father, you say you're a love of our soul and that there's nothing that you would withhold from us. And we say thank you. Thank you for your darling son, Jesus. Thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you for inspirational Wednesday night Bible study, dear God. And everyone that calls in, have your way with this lesson, dear God. I submit and give all power and reverence to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, have your way with this lesson on tonight. I pray that the word don't return void and it accomplish what God has sent out for it to do. Bless, dear God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and thank God. A lot more callers have called in, and I'm going to give the title of the lesson and the scripture one more time. We're going to pray a song, and the title of the song is I Belong to You, Lord. Sometime in our lives, we all need to say that and realize that we belong to God. And the lesson tonight is coming from the book of Micah, which is found in the Old Testament. And the title of the lesson is, What Does God Want From Us? And I'm going to play the song at this time, and then we'll go ahead and get into the lesson.
This is called I Belong to You. I was so sad, so sad.
And that was I Belong to You by Rance Allen. It is God's desire that all of us realize at some point in our lives who we belong to. God is the creator and the maker of all things, and by him all things was made. The lesson tonight is, what does God really want from us? Coming from Micah 6 and 6 through 8. You know, I don't know about you tonight, but I can say there's been certain times in my life when I was on my Christian journey and I was, you know, doing what I believe God wanted me to do, and I still felt like something was missing. And plenty of times, you know, the things that we hear in the church or the things we hear about God, according to who's saying it, sometimes make you think that you're falling so short. And you just get in your desperation mood, and you might say, what does God really want from us? What does God want me to do? What is my purpose? Where do he want me to go? How do I get there? What does you want me to do, God? And that's how I decided to write this lesson tonight. And as always, I give a background, and it would seem so appropriate because when we get to the Word of God and the Scriptures, you're going to know why I chose this background. But the background tonight is the Ten Commandments. I want you to know that the Ten Commandments are ten laws in the Bible that God gave to the nation of Israel short after they exited out of Exodus. And the reason he gave it to them after they exited out of Exodus, you should realize this. If God gave them the commandments when they exited out of Egypt, then that means there was no law before that. And when they exited out of Egypt and God had decided to make them a nation, then God felt it was necessary for him to deal with his people with laws. And he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses from Mount Sinai. You see, the Ten Commandments are essentially a summary of 613 commandments, which is called the law. See, Moses was the giver of the law. God gave the Ten Commandments. But when the Ten Commandments, when God gave the Ten Commandments, he knew that the law would contain 113 laws. And he knew that if you use it and do it right and go with the first essence necessary, which is love, it could be condensed to the ten and you could be all right. And it's amazing that the first four commandments, the first four of the Ten Commandments, deal with our relationship with God. I don't know if you ever paid attention to that, and you know how you say the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt. The first four deals with our relationship with God. And the last six commandments deal with our relationship with one another. It's amazing when God only gave four that deals with him, but he probably knew we needed more, and he gave six for us to deal with one another. The Ten Commandments is recorded in the Bible for those who want to check it out. It's in Exodus, the 20th chapter, 1 through 17, and Deuteronomy, 5th chapter, 6 through 21. And the commandments go like this. The first commandment, you shall have no other God before me. This commandment is against worshiping any other God than the true God. All other gods are false gods. Number two, you shall make for yourself no idol. Now, what this one's saying? You should make no idol. You should make nothing in the form. You should make anything in heaven above or on the earth or beneath the waters below. You should make no image that you think represent God, because you truly don't know how God is, and you start representing that idol that you created, and it would be a false god. You see, this commandment is against making an idol, a visible representation of God. There is no image you can create that can accurately portray God. To make an idol to represent God is to worship a false god. Now, when we get hit, you know, this was given to them, but, you know, people are saying we don't have to live by the law because we are now under grace. But these were moral laws that God gave. And morality does not cancel because of time. And even in our lives today, if we have a car that we love so much and we begin to worship that car becomes our idol. Our job could become our idol. Our mate could become our idol. Our children could become our idol. You have to watch how much time and how much reverence you give to things in your life. Because remember, God is a jealous God. Number three, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You know, when we was little, we couldn't even say, what they say now? Oh, my God. You know, just in reference to certain things, and that's why they say, oh, my gosh. You know, and things like that, because we were taught that was using the Lord's name in vain, and you can't just use it any kind of way in every situation. You see, this is a commandment against taking the name of the Lord in vain. We are not to treat God's name lightly. We are to show reverence to God by only mentioning him in a respectful and honoring way. Number four, remember the Sabbath and keep the day holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all the work, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath to the Lord, it's the Sabbath, and it belongs to the Lord. You know, back then in the Old Testament, you know, on the Sabbath day, they wouldn't work. They wouldn't do anything. They, you know, they just didn't do anything. They rest and hopefully, you know, gave reverence unto God. I went to Jerusalem a couple of years ago, and they Sabbath start on Friday night. And on Friday night, they don't even, after that, The Orthodox Jews, the serious ones who still go by the law and live by the commandments, they don't even cut on the electricity. They started on Friday night when the sun go down, and you know it ends on Saturday night when the sun comes up, and Sunday morning, as we know it, you know, it's the time for God. They back in a swing. And you got to remember this. Let me tell you. Everything that God does, he does for us. He gave us a day of rest for ourselves. Now, what we do with it depends on us. You know, God didn't create the Sabbath for himself. He created it for us. Remember that. Number five, honor your mother and your father so that you may live long in the land of the Lord that God has given you. This is a commandment to always treat one's parents with honor and respect. And it's amazing that this is the only commandment with a promise. Because you see, when you read this commandment, it says, honor thy mother and thy father so that you may live long in the land that the Lord God has given you. The fifth, honor thy mother and father. It's the only commandment with a promise attached to it. And when you say a promise, if God promises, he will deliver it. The fifth commandment. Six, you shall not murder. This is a commandment against the premeditation murder of another human being. And it's amazing that they say premeditated, because sometimes it could be an accident, sometimes it could be the heat of the moment, sometimes it could be self-defense, sometimes it could be you in the army. And he put premeditated. I don't know if you knew that. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. This is commandment against any sexual relationship with anyone other than your spouse. Eight, you shall not steal. This is a commandment against taking what's not yours without permission of the other person. So, you know, anything we remove from that belongs to somebody else without their permission. Nine, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is a commandment prohibiting testifying against another person falsely. It is essentially a command really against lying. So you be careful about that. And, you know, if you go on into it, you'll see that they say don't go in no courtroom giving false information about somebody. Don't give false information about somebody you know who you think did something, and you put it out there and may not have all of the information. And the last but not least, the Ten Commandments. You shall not covet thy neighbor's house. You shall not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's manservant or thy neighbor's maidservant or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This is commandment against desiring anything that is not your own. Covenant is trying to keep up with the Joneses as well. Covetousness is having sleepless nights trying to get what somebody else got. You see, covetousness can lead to breaking one of the commandments listed above. It can even go into covetousness could get you so jealous and so prideful. It could lead you to murder, adultery, and even death. If it is wrong to do something, then it is also wrong to desire to do the same thing. You see, God says it's wrong to do it, but if you're sitting down and planting stuff in your head and in your heart, you know, the Bible say thou shalt not commit adultery, but the Bible goes so far to say that anyone look upon another person with lust in their heart, you just as well committed it. So it says if it is wrong to do something, it is wrong to desire to do the same something. You see, many people mistakenly look at the Ten Commandments as a set of rules. If followed, will guarantee entrance into eternal life after death. You see, in contrast, the purpose of the Ten Commandments is to force people to realize that they cannot perfectly obey the law, and therefore is in need of God's mercy and grace. You see, they tell you that the law is not made for the righteous. It's made for the unrighteous. You know, they got all these laws that's in here about stealing and all of the federal court. Clearly that stuff don't even faze you, because you're not trying to do some of those things that would have to be involved. You know, they got a speed limit of 70 miles on the highway, but you didn't need a law to tell you if you go too fast and you have an accident, you'll probably, you know, kill yourself. But the law, when God gave the law, remember I said the laws, they didn't get the laws. they got the laws when they was getting ready to exit out of Egypt. God had decided to make the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, and they was going to go and subdue the land that God had promised to Abraham. And God said, you will now become my nation. And because you're going to be my nation, I want to sit down and give some rules and regulations. And that's how the laws came into be, to point them to sin. But they could have a moral compass and what is expected and what is not expected. And that's why they were given. You see, the Ten Commandments demonstrate that we have all sinned and are therefore in need of God's mercy and grace available only through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, laws and rules and regulations let you know when you're doing wrong. And it helps guide you into the right way. And that's what the Ten Commandments was doing also. And that's our background for the night. And as we go into the scripture's in the book of Micah, and I use the Ten Commandments for the background, but I got to tell you a little bit about Micah. You see, Micah was a minor prophet of God. And remember, I told you they had 17 prophets. 5 was major, 12 was minor. Micah was a minor prophet. And the difference between a major prophet and a minor prophet is the amount of writings that they did in the Bible. Micah represented a true picture of God, the Almighty. You know, the book of Micah represents a true picture of God, the Almighty Lord, who hates sin, but he loves the sinner. That's what Micah is talking about in his book, and it's not that long. I encourage you to go back and read it. But that's what Micah's concept was. That was his writing geared to. You see, the much of his book is devoted to describing God's judgment. He is writing to the people of Israel and Judah. Micah is warning God's people that judgment is coming and to offer pardon to all who repent. See, Micah tell him, y'all doing what you want, you know, and it's not right. He's saying God is a good God, but God does pass down judgment, but if you repent, you're going to be all right. You see, and if we go to Micah, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read the 6th and 7th verse for those who have their Bible, and I'm reading King James. They say, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with a burnt offering, with a calf of an old age? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? You know, they used to use oil for a lot of things. They used to donate, you know, dedicate it to God. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for my sins of my soul? You see, this is what Micah this is what the people had begun to ask Micah. They were feeling that, you know, what do God really want for us? They had begun to get overwhelmed because they wanted to do what they wanted to do, and they wanted to follow God, and they had to make the sacrifices, and they had to do this, and they had to do that. And they were just tired, and it wasn't really hard, but that's the way people are. It was happening with people back then, and it's sure enough happening with people here. No, I don't have to go to church. Church stay too long. No, I don't have to do this. No, it doesn't take all of that. And that's the way the people in Micah days in Israel and Judah was feeling. And this was the question they was asking. And really, it was smirky because they went to him and said, well, okay, you the prophet, Micah. Let's see. You know, what will please God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? You know, a calf of a year old? You know, should I give him that? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? You know, they being hypothetical, because when you made a sacrifice, you didn't bring 1,000 rams. But that's what they say, and they exaggerating the point to say how unjust God is. They say, should we bring 1,000 rams or should we bring 10,000? Now listen at this, like they could really do that. Or with 10,000 rivers of oil. Don't that sound smirky to you guys? Then somebody else, you know, says, shall I give my firstborn for my sins, my transgression, or the fruit of my body for my sins of my soul? So these was the questions they was presenting to Micah. You see, the people in the prophet's day complained that God was never satisfied. They asked, will the Lord be pleased with this, the 1,000 rams? Will he be pleased with the 10 rivers of oil? And so on and so on. It was their way of asking, what does God want from us anyway? They were kind of saying, look, God, give me a break. Now, I know none of you may have ever said that, but some of our actions sometimes be like that. And then sometimes, because we truly loving on God and we truly want to please him, and we're not quite sure of the direction, are we feeling a little overwhelmed? Are we feeling that we just don't know? May ask some of these questions. You see, some people today feel like their own striving to please God goes for nothing. You know, I have people come to me, and I always use this because this comes to me so much. You know, I pay my tithes, and now I can't pay my light bill. You know, God said do it, and I did it, and now what? And, you know, they said, I paid my tithes. Why I'm having trouble? What does God want from me? You know, sometimes you might ask, what's my purpose? Am I pleasing God? And is I'm doing enough? Now, most of the time, if you're reading and studying the word, and we know that Christian growth is so important, you know if you're not studying, you know if you're not praying as much as you would like to, you know all these things personally. So sometimes you may feel, I don't know, and you may ask the question, am I doing enough? That's a normal question, because that's a question saying I want to do better. Not God, you didn't do good and you want too much. How much could we give God? He sent his son. His son paid the price. And all to him we owe. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't give ourselves breath. Everything we own belonged to God. We only steward, and you know a steward is someone that take care of something that belonged to someone else until they come back again. So how much could possibly be too much? They say, what's my purpose? Am I pleasing him? And if I'm doing enough, that's somebody trying to just want to be better. It's not the same. You see, Jesus was asked once, this is the part I love, when we talked about the Ten Commandments, you know, the Ten Commandments, God gave them to Moses. God gave them to Moses, and he wrote them up on stone while he was on the mountain. And then God started giving laws to Moses, and of course, like anybody else, the people of Moses, they start putting laws in it as well, and that's how it got to 613. But God gave 10 to Moses, and the law of Moses, which is in the first, which is called the first five books in the Old Testament, it has 113 laws. Now, let's come on to the New Testament, and Jesus had got his disciples together, and he's trying to teach the people about doing right. And you know, one of the disciples asked Jesus, which commandments of the law was the greatest? So they was asking out of the laws of Moses as well as the Ten Commandments. They wanted to know which one was the greatest, and they probably wanted to know which one was the greatest, so they figured they could do that and they could leave the rest of them alone. But he answered them, and he gave them two. Now watch this. And I'm saying what God wants from us. You know, before I go on with that, the reason I'm saying this too, because, you see, we have been told so much. in so many forms and in so many fashions. So we don't sometimes don't know if we right or wrong or what's necessary or what counts or what pleases and what don't. You see, because we belong to a religion as well as we are Christians. And each Christian make their doctrine up. You see, Baptists and Catholic and Methodists, all of those are religions. And religion, you got to know that they're man-made. So when you look at religion and you go to the church and whatever your religion, you know, believe in, they're going to give you some more rules and regulations. So we got all of this and we, you know, but what does God really want? Now, they went to Malachi and they asked him all of that. And we're going to get to the answer when we go to the next thing. But right now, in the New Testament, the disciples, as I say, came to Jesus, asked him who was the greatest. And this is what Jesus said. And he summed up all of it. The 6, 13, and the 10. He summed it up in two. So this is something you can hold on to. This is called the greatest commandments. And it was given by Jesus Christ in his teaching to his disciples. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second one is, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, let me tell you, there's no commandments greater than these. You see, these two commandments sums up the 613 and the 10 that we are familiar with. But you see, what God wants is really quite simple. He wants us. Come on now. We already know that keeping the law and keeping the commandments was not designed to grant you salvation. But God needed a measuring stick. And it wasn't really a measuring stick. It was really a pointing stick to point you to know when you're wrong. That's moral laws. You see, all our service for God must flow from these two commandments, and that is to love. You see, when you truly love somebody, you don't need 633. You're not going to touch their stuff. You ain't going to want their wife. You're not going to play with God. Come on now, y'all. You're going to love your mom and your father. You see, with love in you, there's no need for rules and regulation because love will be the schoolmaster that appoints you to your way. You see, if it's not love, it's not real service. It's only fleshly efforts. We got so much of that going around. And I think all of us have our moments, but we have, you know, the thing is, we who are saved and seeking after God, we will make mistakes. If we truly accepted Christ, our salvation is granted. So when we do good, it's not to get saved, but because what God did for us in Jesus Christ on the cross, we want to do right. And when we accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost came and lived with us, and he brought all kind of love. So he's trying to manifest and mold and shape you into what he brought in for you, that you could be the best you could be, and demonstrate and become the purpose that God had created for you, and that's what God wants. You know, the Bible said when you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. When you have fleshly motives. You know, sometimes people take the word of God. When you hear the word of God, it comes in your head. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says some people will be ever learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. And I studied that because I couldn't understand because he said ever learning. But what it is, it's almost like you get the word, you put it in your head. You don't meditate. You don't ponder on it. You don't pray on it. You know, it's in your head. But the rule of thumbs is you got to take it from your head and allow it to go in your heart. so it can manifest the things of God for you and your life. You see? So that's when you when you're in the flesh, you take the word and you don't do nothing with it. You leave it stay in your head and you don't let it penetrate your heart. And if it's just like that, then you can't please God. You see, God wants us to trust in his Son as Savior and Lord. You see, 2 Peter 3:9 said, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." We come to know Jesus through repenting of our sins and accepting him as our personal sacrifice. See, Jesus was the one-time sacrifice, but he did it for all of us, so that's why he's all of our personal sacrifice. And for that, you should love him. You see, Christ paid our debt sin in full, and all to him we owe. You see, when Jesus' disciple asked him to show them the Father, he replied, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." God wants us to know him, and we can only truly know him once we begin to accept his Son, which is a part of the master plan for us. Accepting Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost coming living in us allows us to become who we are. When God created us, there was a spot in us that couldn't be filled without the acceptance of Jesus Christ. People who are walking around and has never accepted Christ as their Savior, they feel that something is always missing, and that's the reason why. And for us, that's not cooperating with the Holy Ghost and hearing the word but not becoming doers of the word. We always feel something is missing. And you may ask yourself, God, what do you want from me? You see, next, God wants you to become conformed to the image of his Son. Everything in the word, everything about the word, everything surrounding the word, everything about God, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Jesus wasn't born to the New Testament, but the prophets spoke about him. God made the first prophecy when he promised that he would come, and all through they kept talking about the Messiah, the Messiah, the Messiah. Everything points to Jesus. You see, the Father wants all of his children. See, you say, if you say, you know, Jesus is God's Son, and you say you're a child of God, well, then he wants all his children to act like his firstborn, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. You might think about trials and tribulation and setbacks and set downs, you know, but God brings situation into our lives to refine us and to chip away those flawed characteristics that are in the way of us becoming who he designed. Come on now. Who he designed us to be. You see, as Jesus was obedient to the Father in everything, Jesus had tunnel vision. You know, they say, well, Jesus was the Son of God. I guess he couldn't sin, but Jesus had every opportunity like you. Believe me, Jesus had every opportunity because, you know, he could have decided to do what he wanted, but he decided to do the will of his Father. He said, "Not my will, but thy will." Jesus went in a human form. He felt all of the pain. He felt all of the shame. He felt everything like you, and he could have made his decision because he didn't want to go through it because you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked God to take away the cup. He said, "Lord, if you could do this any other way, please do it and let me go another way." But you see, as Jesus was obedient to the Father and everything, so the goal of every child of God should be to obey our Heavenly Father. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires when you once lived in ignorance. Come on now. This is what it's saying. Before you were saved, you know, and some people say, I always was a good girl. I always did what my parents say do. I always followed the rules. I always listened. Well, that's very good. but I can speak for myself. That was not the way with me. So what is it saying? As an obedient child, I do no longer want to conform to the evil desires that I had when I lived in ignorance. Because when he called me out of darkness and I came into the marvelous light, and that's why I say when he called me, we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us, and we accept. And you see, if you're doing the same thing, all of the same things that you used to do, then what is it? Nah, stop that. Put it on pause. I'm not telling you you're going to be perfect. And I'm not giving you a license to sin. But all I'm telling you is what God wants from us. And if you do the best you can with what he wants, he'll do the best. He will do the best for you. But just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. You know, and we're growing. We are the construction. We're pressing for the mark of the high calling. But we should be better day by day. There should be evidence in our lives that we have grown. There should be fruit of the Spirit that should be glorified and amplified in our lives, that who we belong to. You see, I said earlier, God just wants us. And he wants us to represent him well. To sum these verses up, the children of Israel were saying that God wanted too much from them, and he was never satisfied. But when we get to the eighth verse, this is Micah talking to them and giving them an answer for what they were saying. He said, he has showed thee, O man, this is Micah saying to them, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what do the law require of thee, but to do. And he's telling them not. He said, God done already told you all kind of ways. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. But y'all want to make it that way because y'all don't want to do what you even need to do. And it's not hard. He said, but this is what God done already told you that he required of you. It's in the word. They say, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. He said, after they said all of that and all of the sacrifices and all of that, fine and good, but he said, this is what God wants. You see, people have tried all kind of ways to please God, but God made his wishes clear. He wants his people to be just with everyone, with one another. He wants you to be merciful, and he wants you to walk humbly with him. In your effort to please God, we should examine these errors in our lives daily. Are you fair in the dealing with people? You got to answer that for yourself. Do you show mercy to those who wrong you, which is forgiveness? Are you learning humility as you go each day? See, we're learning, and it's a process. It's not a destination, but you should be growing. And then it say, then I could say, that's what God say he wants from us. But do we think we don't have to do it? Or these are things we expect from God? Come on now, you want to be forgiven, but yet you can't forgive. You wanted to be treated just and fair by everyone, but yet you figure you could treat people the way you want to. You want everybody to be humble with you and bow down to you or listen to you or stand behind you, but yet you want to rile up with God. So you, God saying, this is what I want, and you want all of these things from God, but are you doing it back in return? Many people like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, and you know the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and scribes was the people. It was a sect. It was the people who knew the word back and forth. And Jesus had a problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they knew the law, but they didn't know how to love. Hallelujah. You see, they tried to put external action before the inner heart change. How many people do that? Or they go to church on Sunday. I don't know what they do. You see, you got to watch the external action that you're trying to do because God looks at the heart. So, you know, you could be doing all of that and it's like, oh, well, Because God, look at the heart and how the heart changed. They place all the focus on what they do rather than who they are, which is one of God's best. See, God wants us, what God wants from us, he wants us to recognize who we are. He wants us to recognize that we got the victory and start living like it. He wants us to recognize that he has sent his son, and in his son there's healing and there's deliverance and there's strength and there's power. He wants us to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We are heirs and joint heirs, and he said he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us, and he's always got our back. And if you look at that story with the footprints in the sand, when the man only saw one set of footprints, it was because God was carrying him. He wants us to know this. This will give you the desire to want to please God. This should give you the desire to want to please God with every area of your life. But unless love for God is your motive, outward display of godliness only result in pride and legalism. And see, I want to take a minute to tell you what legalism is. You see, legalism in Christianity is excessive and improper use of the law. Legalism can take on different forms. The first one is where the person attempts to keep the law in order to attain salvation. The Bible tells us over and over and over, you can't keep the law. You can't work. It can't be your deeds. Only Christ. And that's what the legalism is. You see, in a religion of Judaism, that's what they're still teaching today, the Jews. That's what they live by, the law. You see, the second form of legalism is where a person keeps the law in order to maintain salvation. Once they're saved, they figure they have to keep the law and keep doing the deeds and all of that they think that can please God so that they can keep their salvation. That's a hard way to live, and that's not the God I serve. God is faithful, and God is not an Indian giver. And when you accepted Christ and the Holy Ghost came to live in your house, he sealed you until the day of redemption. Jesus said, look, I got to go, but I'm going to give you a deposit. See, the Holy Ghost is a deposit for us to hold on to in Jesus' absence till Jesus come back, all those who are his. Once saved, yes, always saved, if it was truly saved when you got saved. The third is when a Christian judge another Christian, this is a good one, for not keeping certain codes of conduct that they think they need to observe. Come on now. You done got holy in this area, so everybody got to get holy in this area, and anybody that's not holy in that area is not really right. You done master going to church now, so everybody who don't go to church is going to die and go to hell. You done stop playing around now, so everybody who's still playing around, it's so bad. You see, them three I told you, but neither one of them pleases God. When we surrender ourselves totally to him, the Holy Ghost empowers us to love God fully and serve him with the right motives. Paul said we need to press. The Bible tells us no one is perfect, but we should have the right motive should be in front of us. We should be God-fearing, and we should have reverence towards God. And you got to remember this. It's compromising sometimes get us, and there is no right way to do wrong. And as I close, true service and holiness are simply the outworking of the Holy Ghost, the overflowing of a life dedicated to the glory of God. It is simply the outworking of the Spirit. The Spirit worked from the inside out in us. And God gave us the Holy Ghost. That's why I'm telling you, it's not hard. When our focus is on loving God rather than simply serving him, we end up doing both. When you focus on loving God, everything else is going to fall in place because it's all built on love. But if you skip the relationship, your service is no more use and benefiting nothing. Your service has no use and it benefits nothing. If I sum this up, the prophet Michael was just letting us know. He told us what God wants, and he said it's very simple. He said, be just, merciful, and walk humbly with him. People complicate things, tackling on rules and made man laws that ensure frustration, and plenty of times it killed the joy. Have you ever had your joy killed in church? I have. You see, God wants us to love him with our whole heart and let our obedience stem from a heartfelt desire to be pleasing in his sight. And if you do that, that's what God wants from us. And that's the lesson for tonight. And if anybody have a comment, I would truly love to hear from you. You just have to press the one button on your phone. And if you're listening on the internet, you have to dial the number that's posted on the internet. And then you ring that number, and then you could press the one, and I could open up the studio, and you could come through with the mic. You know, the Ten Commandments. Remember, God summed it up, Jesus Christ summed it up in two. I have a caller that want to talk. The area code is 8804. The number is 564. You may speak. Your mic is open.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, and you?
I am doing great. This is Linda. I enjoy the word tonight on the Ten Commandments. I really enjoy that.
Okay, so you're the caller from a little bit back?
Yes, I spoke with you.
When I used to be on Damascus Road?
No, actually, I spoke with you on the phone.
Oh, when you called for prayer?
Yes.
Okay, God bless you. For those who don't know, there's a prayer line number that is posted. Well, it really be on the internet, so the call is on the phone. You know, I should give it out each week, but there's a prayer line number, and anybody want it, you could get it. This lady, and what's your name, darling?
Linda.
Yeah, Linda called me on the prayer line, and we prayed together and had great fellowship and conversation, and she decided to call tonight, and I'm so glad. And I thank you, darling, for calling in. And if you can, next week, join us again. We on every Wednesday at 8:30. Where do you live? Because I see your area code is 804.
In Virginia.
Okay, you're in Virginia. So I guess our time is a little different, but you figured it out. Glory be to God. So hopefully we'll come back to, hopefully you'll come back and be with us again. Would you like to make any other comments?
That's the only one.
Okay, hope you'll be back with us Wednesday. I'll be looking for your number in the studio.
Okay.
And thank you so very much. Would anybody else like to make any comments? Any prayer requests? You know, this week has been a trying time for me because some kind of way, you know, I got a lot of people asking for prayer, all kind of prayers, and I don't look at myself as having a great gift of praying. But, you know, I've been called on so many times this week. And it began to make me see that I need to be better with my prayer life. And it also let me see that God does answer prayers. Not that I didn't think he did, but I never thought about it like I do now. Because God really does answer prayer. And like I say, I always knew it, but, you know, sometimes, well, I'll tell it to you like this. I tell you guys all the time, I'm only giving information, but the Holy Ghost give you illumination and revelation. So it's a revelation, and I got illuminated with prayer. You see, that's why I tell you, it's journeys in our lives where we get you know, we grow higher and higher in the things of God. It's not that I didn't pray. It's not that I didn't believe in prayer. But I just got to heighten. And, like, I just want to pray because prayer changes things. We had a lot of praise reports going on this week from different people that called in to me personally and gave some praise reports, and it was awesome. They were all awesome, and they believed the report came through the power of prayer. So, you know, keep on praying. And we have to pray in season and out of season. We got to pray for everybody. We got to pray for the president. We got to pray for our city. We got to pray for our boys walking the street. We got to pray for our children getting a rough end of the stick at school. We got to pray for our neighbors. And then, you know, you say, I don't know what to pray for. They got so many things to pray for. Come on. You know, we got to pray for everybody on Wednesday night Bible study. You got to pray for your preacher. You got to pray for your preacher family. That's so much. Is there anyone would like to say anything, add something to the lesson, make a comment, give a prayer request, pray for the going out? Because right now it's 9:30, and I always promise to kind of finish at 9:30. So if no one else would like to say anything, really do anything if you want to sing a song. I mean, you could do whatever. So, okay, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 504-237-60. Your mic is open.
Yes, hi, Diane. How you doing? I really enjoyed the service tonight. And to say, what do the Lord want me to do now? That was awesome for you to come up with that and give me, open up some doors for me and let me realize how blessed I am to be and listen to your voice. I want to thank you.
And I thank you, Sister Sandra. Sandra is a member of we have a Monday night Bible study as well, and Sandra is a member that comes on Monday night as well. And I thank God for Monday night and Wednesday night and everything that God has for us to do. And I want you to tell you, I didn't set out to be no teacher. I didn't look to be no teacher. But you see, God used who he want, when he want, how he want. And my message may not be for everybody. That's why God has so many different teachers with so many different styles coming from so many different eras. And I just want to be what God wants me to be. And I empty myself out so when I come to you, the Holy Ghost could fill up and do what he want to do because I'm only the vessel. But I thank God for each and every opportunity that he gives me. And I thank him for allowing me to come before his people. And I pray that I don't, you know, I probably make mistakes, but I pray that I use the word of God correctly and that you can be edified and Satan can be horrified and God will be glorified and that you can use something that is said to carry you through to build you up. I always tell you I don't know everything and I'm only giving information. And wait on a revelation and illumination of the Holy Ghost. And at this time, we're going to just go ahead on and pray. Because there's prayers and a benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the word that went forward on the night. I thank you for each and every caller that took time out of their schedule and called through. Lord, I pray that your word don't return void. And anyone that has a need, dear God, and even though they didn't state it, God, I'm asking that you find favor in their lives. Lord, I'm asking you for deliverance, and I'm asking you for peace, dear God, and I'm asking you for joy, and I'm asking you for mercy, and I'm asking you for grace for everyone that called, those who wanted to call, dear God, and even those who didn't call. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you have done and everything that you promised to do. Thank you for your word, dear God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's our lesson for tonight. I will be back on Wednesday, and I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And I pray that you grow in grace and the knowledge of God. God is looking for matured Christians. God wants us to be a little more knowledgeable than, well, I ain't going to say a little, but he wants us to be more knowledgeable as the day go by. So I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Many of the callers are still on the line. They haven't hung up. And I say thank God for each and every one of you. So now what I can do is put some music on, and if you're listening to the music and you decide you want to say something, you can still press the one button. I can still see it, and I can still bring you in the studio. And but right now the lesson has gone forth, and I'm going to play some music, and this is a song that I think is appropriate right now because we have to learn to encourage ourselves.
Knowing you see me through,
knowing you see me
and
through.
I give my heart to you.
God loves you, and so do I. Good night.